Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TIC FM, and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you this Sunday morning, and we are pleased to be joined by municipal attorneys Michael Collins and Rich Roberts, both partners at Halloran and Sage Law Firm in Hartford. Good morning to the both of you.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
So we are talking election 2020. We are less than a month away now, and things are going to be different in many ways this year compared to 2 or 4 years ago, last time we had a presidential contest. Tell us how things are going to be different this year. Michael, why don't we start with you?
One of the things, of course, in a presidential election, which is different from 2 years ago, you tend to have a larger voter turnout for the presidential elections than you do for more local contests. One of the big differences, of course, here from both the more recent senatorial elections and what have you, and the presidential ones of 4 years ago, is the impact of COVID-19. And in Connecticut, as elsewhere, the ability to participate in the election by mail-in ballots when an elector has concerns about being exposed to COVID-19 through the regular election process of going to the polls.
Now, Rich, a lot of people are expected to vote by mail instead of showing up in person. And in Connecticut, we've kind of had to jump through some hoops to make that possible because we are rather restrictive when it comes to absentee ballots. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly correct. Actually, it's in the state constitution that absentee ballots are only supposed to be used under certain circumstances. The legislature has passed statutes that kind of expand on what's in the state constitution, but it is quite restrictive in terms of circumstances under which you can use absentee ballots. It's, you know, illness, being absent from the state for the entire day, being in the military, religious beliefs that prohibit you from engaging in secular activities. So, leading up to the presidential primary and the earlier primary in August, through executive order and special session legislation in July, the criteria for eligibility to use an absentee ballot were broadened to include, you know, essentially fears of exposure due to COVID-19. And the July special session expanded or continued that availability of absentee ballots due to COVID-19 through the state election in 2020 in November.
Now, the state has taken the unprecedented step of sending out absentee ballot applications to every registered voter in Connecticut. You should have received that in the mail by now. And the ballots that if you filled out the application and sent it back to your town or city hall, the ballots started being mailed out last week. Tell us where things are in the process and where we go from here.
Well, I think based on having conversations with some of our municipal clients, there have been a tremendous number of applications returned either by mail or in person to the town clerk's office. And they're essentially in the process of going through, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of applications preparing to mail out the actual absentee ballot sets to the voters. Those applications that were submitted prior to October 2nd will be sent out within 48 hours after that date. Anything that comes in after that time, once again, will be turned around within 48 hours. So I think it's just kind of a processing nightmare for a lot of municipalities at this point. And there have been a lot of towns that have hired additional kind of emergency workers to help out in the town clerk's office with respect to processing the applications and checking off the people on the list and mailing out the absentee ballot sets.
In your experience, are some cities and towns better equipped to handle this onslaught than others?
I think that there certainly are some towns that have more of kind of a historical experience with a large amount of absentee ballots than in other towns. And that experience obviously gives them a leg up in terms of both anticipating what has to be done and having the personnel available to do it. I think that towns that perhaps have not had as much experience in anticipation of this much larger use of that system have taken the steps to, as Rich was saying, to get extra personnel on board and to kind of get hit the ground running when they get those applications started and the process that begins.
Now, the August primaries were kind of a test run for this. What were some of the hiccups that we saw then, and how have things been changed a bit to rectify things for the general?
It seemed like one of the hiccups for that primary surrounded or revolved around the use of a mailing house out of state under the direction of the Secretary of State's office for the distribution of the actual absentee ballots in certain instances, and then kind of a clunky transition to the point at which town clerk's offices were given the responsibility of sending out the ballots during the last week or 10 days. It was apparently not well explained or communicated or understood how that transition was going to work and in which situations the clerk's offices themselves, rather than the mailing house, were going to be sending out the ballots. But that's been essentially taken care of for the November election by having the town clerk's office be responsible for the distribution of all of the absentee ballots, rather than having the process begin with the mailing house and then go to the town clerks. And I think it was a combination of the volume of different types of ballots that would have to be generated for the general election and the experience with the mailing house that it just seemed to be cleaner to have the town clerks be the ones with full responsibility for it, so that there was no ambiguity as far as who was doing what and when.
What else has to happen between now and Election Day to ensure things go smoothly in the run-up to the election and when the counting starts?
Well, the next steps that'll happen, and Rich touched upon this a little bit already, is obviously the applications are still coming in, and the ballots themselves have to go out. One of the things we had been advocating when we had a conversation like this earlier is it would be in people's best interest to make sure that they get the ballots back in as soon as they can. You don't want to run the risk that it gets tied up in the mail, for example, if the ballot has to be at the town hall before they can be tabulated. So you want to make sure that you, as a voter, to the extent you're able to use the boxes that are available at town halls, that's, I think, the most expedient way to make sure that your ballot gets to the designated location. And if you need to use the mail, to do that as soon as possible.
And in fact, the legislature, this past week meeting in special session, took up some legislation that is designed to make it a little easier for local elections officials to handle the ballots once they are returned, because typically you can't really do anything with them until Election Day, correct?
That's correct. Prior to July of this year, the town clerks would essentially collect all the absentee ballots that were returned to their office, and the extent of the pre-processing would be to, you know, organize them by voting district and check people's names off on the list to show whose absentee ballot has returned, so that they're checked off on the list. So if they suddenly show up at the polls on Election Day, there's some kind of, you know, heads up that there's an absentee ballot that needs to be thrown away. The delivery of the absentee ballots to the folks who process them, open them, tabulate them, and so forth, you know, prior to this year, occurred between 10 a.m. and noon on Election Day. And given the volume of absentee ballots, I think it was widely recognized that that wasn't going to be feasible, you know, if half or two-thirds of the people seeking to vote in the November election did it by absentee. So as it stands now, the processing of ballots in terms of crossing people's names off on the list so that they don't have the opportunity to vote twice can begin as much as 2 weeks before the election. And the processing of the physical absentee ballot envelopes to make sure that things were done properly, that they've been dated properly, that the receipts are in there, that the signatures are on there, can begin Friday, October 30th at 5 p.m. rather than waiting until Election Day. So a lot of the kind of backroom paperwork can be taken care of before Election Day. But you still have the safeguard of not having the actual ballots with the marking of who the individual has voted for being opened until beginning 6 o'clock on Election Day, so that the, you know, concerns about people getting a head start on knowing what the results are going to be has been mitigated, but it still allows the kind of documentary processing to be done ahead of time so that they can have less work that actually needs to get done on Election Day itself.
You are listening to Face Connecticut. We are talking to municipal attorneys Rich Roberts and Michael Collins. They are both partners at Halloran and Sage Law Firm in Hartford. Backing up a moment, say someone has filled out the application for the absentee ballot, they've returned that. What are they going to get back in the mail? So it's really a package, a set of two envelopes, right?
Yes. Yeah, there's an outer envelope, an inner envelope, and a ballot. And you mark your ballot, fold it up, put it inside the inner envelope, which is supposed to be anonymous so that you know, people can't see what is on your ballot. You put it inside the inner envelope, then it goes inside the outer envelope where you sign the acknowledgement that you're eligible to use the absentee ballot. So it's, you know, it's pretty well hidden inside by the time you get it. If you are going to be doing absentee ballot either by mail or putting it in the box at your town hall, be sure to follow the instructions exactly as far as putting the ballot inside the inner envelope and sealing it, putting the inner envelope inside the outer envelope, signing it, dating it, sealing that, just so that there's no basis for anyone to challenge the ballot, or equally importantly, there's no opportunity for anyone to tamper with it.
Now, if you've requested an absentee ballot, the ballot shows up, but for some reason you didn't fill it out, you didn't return it in time, you still have the option of voting in person on Election Day, correct?
Yes,
you do.
And how does that work in terms of ensuring people don't vote twice?
The names on the the voter list get checked off when the absentee ballot itself is returned. So that if it's returned during election day or if it's returned prior to election day, the name will already have been crossed off the list, showing that you had voted by absentee. Prior to this year, you could go in up until the close of business on the day before the election and say, you know, I voted by absentee, but I changed my mind. This year, you have until 5 p.m. on October 30th to go in and say, I voted absentee, but I changed my mind, and to have it kind of pulled out of the stack. When the absentee ballots come in, if any come in on election day itself, they will again be cross-checked against the voter list to make sure that that person hasn't already voted in person, so that you know, anyone who's trying to game the system by showing up in person, but also voting absentee on election day, will probably be caught through the cross-checking system.
Now, with that said, how big a concern really is widespread voter fraud, as the president and other mainly Republicans have warned about?
There are built into the system, there are safeguards at every step of the process that we've been discussing. Namely, there are rules that must be followed during the application process. There are rules that are followed that Rich was just discussing in terms of filling out the absentee ballot. There's rules that are in place for the checkers. And as you might imagine, just as is the case for when you go to the polls, there are both parties represented by individuals who are participating in these safeguard measures, so that from my perspective, the chance of widespread fraud is very remote.
Rich, would you agree?
Yes, I agree. I mean, the system is designed to kind of double check almost every step along the way. And even with the tremendous volume of absentee ballots that are likely to be used during this election, I think having the opportunity to do some of the cross-checking and the tabulation and the paperwork in advance will go a long way to eliminating the possibility of having any meaningful degree of voter fraud.
Now, Election Day registration is still relatively new in Connecticut. How is that going to work this year amid the pandemic and the changes instituted because of it?
I don't think there are going to be substantial changes in the Election Day registration process itself, other than probably requiring masks and social distancing and so forth. One of the other legislative changes in July was to allow municipalities to set up more than one Election Day registration location within their town, so that if there was a fear of 4,000 people converging on City Hall at 6 p.m., there's at least the opportunity to have that volume of people spread out between multiple locations, so that it doesn't create any kind of unnecessary risk of COVID spreading.
Now, in the experience that you have, both of you, what sort of legal disputes might arise out of how mail-in voting is occurring this year in Connecticut?
In the past, some of the legal challenges to the absentee ballot process have been with the application process itself. One of the concerns that has been addressed in some court cases that I was involved in was the actions of, you know, political volunteers in trying to assist in the process. And there's, you know, there are restrictions as to what you're able to do in terms of getting someone who needs an absentee ballot to complete the application and get the ballot, et cetera. Those are the type of things that I've had experience with.
And Rich?
I think the in addition to the ones that Mike mentioned, there have been challenges over proper filling out of the inner and outer envelopes. There have also been questions about voter intent on the absentee ballot themselves. One of the things that you have kind of as an advantage if you're voting in person is that if you do it wrong, meaning, you know, you circle someone's name or you draw an X or you put arrows on your ballot instead of filling in the oval, the tabulator will reject it and the person standing next to it will kind of suggest ways you might fix it. So if you are voting in person and aren't familiar with the process or just aren't good at following directions, there is kind of a real-time opportunity to fix it and to clarify and to make sure that your vote reflects your actual intent. The difficulty with the absentee ballots is that they're done, you know, in hospital rooms, in people's kitchens, in nursing homes, wherever the voter is when they're filling it out, and it gets put in the envelopes and signed and sealed and so forth. And there isn't really the same opportunity for anyone to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, you didn't do this right. So it comes down to what the interpretation of the vote counters is at the time that they're opening up the ballots in terms of determining the voter's intent. And in some cases, you know, going back to when you know, I think it was the second congressional district, there were a whole series of very close elections. There was substantial litigation involving what kinds of, you know, stray marks or mismarks or things like that should be construed in certain ways as reflecting the voter's intent. So that, you know, that's always something that comes up with absentee ballots. And I think it may become more relevant this time because there are a lot of people who may be voting for the first time or certainly will be voting by absentee ballot for the first time who may not necessarily dot the I's and cross the T's and fill in the oval nicely that could create opportunities for confusion down the road.
We've heard that both presidential campaigns have vast legal teams to challenge anything that might occur on election day that they have objections to. Have you heard of any campaigns in Connecticut kind of lawyering up in advance of the election?
Frankly, having legal teams at your disposal is not unique to this election. It happens in elections of consequence all the time. I haven't heard any specific lawyer cartels established with regard to this election. I don't know if you have, Rich.
No, I'm just guessing that they exist. I'm just not aware of them.
So bottom line for the election, what is your advice to the voter who maybe doesn't know yet whether they want to fill out the application for a ballot and vote by mail or show up on election day?
I guess my thought is that if someone isn't sure whether they want to vote by mail or in person, it's probably worth getting, you know, taking the application and sending it back so that you have an absentee ballot in your hand. If, you know, for example, you know, COVID becomes much more prevalent and you start to have concerns about it, you know, it's not a last minute scramble to get the absentee ballot. You have it in hand, but if, you know, if it turns out that election day is warm and sunny and we haven't had a dramatic change in the number of cases and the person is feeling otherwise confident that they can, you know, take the necessary precautions to go vote in person, at least you've covered all the bases and made sure that, you know, you still would have the chance to vote by absentee if circumstances changed.
And the other thing I would suggest, if someone decides that they are going to use the absentee ballot process, that you get it in as quickly as you can to avoid the concern that somehow it will get lost through the cracks.
Good advice. He is Michael Collins, joined by Rich Roberts, both partners at Halloran and Sage in Hartford. They are municipal attorneys. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the balance of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.